Our Old Testament reading for this Sunday is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, and I'm going to be picking up with verse 27, but the verses are written in your little bulletin sheet there. This is a fascinating text because Isaiah is prophesying of an event that will take place when God's people are taken in captivity in Babylon. But God promises his people that he will deliver them, and in the final chapters of Isaiah, will bring them back to the promised land, Jerusalem, where they will rebuild the temple. And all this will take place prophetically under a king he calls Cyrus the Great, which all happens just as history tells us. So it's quite fascinating. But picking up with verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those whose hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if you have cable network and possibly have been watching the Weather Channel on your local cable network, or if you've been following the local news and the weather reports, you probably are aware that the East Coast, at least it was predicted, was going to be bracing for another one of those new storms that I've never kind of heard about in the past, but they call it a nor'eastern storm, which is like a superstorm, I guess, that is accompanied with great winds, heavy snowfall, icy conditions. And the last two snowstorms left everything we know in a mess, because I watched the weather reports back then and followed the news. There were power outages, school closings, and highways that were closed because of a variety of accidents that took place. And of course, one of the big stories was plane cancellation all the way down the eastern seaboard. Now, if you happen to be one of the thousands and thousands of people who were trying to go someplace in a hurry, you soon discovered that your flight was canceled, and guess what? If you weren't able to get out of the airport and to a hotel, you would be spending the night at the airport. Now, if that was myself in one of those kinds of situations, like those people at that time, my patience would no doubt be tested. And I'm sure for thousands of people, their patience was tested having to sleep overnight in an airport and hoping the next day some of the planes would be able to take off on time. Now, as you think back in your life, maybe that might have happened to you at one time or another. Sometimes our patience is tested. And it is even tested over little things that can bother us, like waiting in a long checkout line at the grocery store, or being in line at your local Walmart store. And this has happened to me where I'm in line and inevitably someone ahead of you will purchase something, and it's a long line, and they don't have a price on the item they're purchasing. Of course, that means that the whole line comes to a standstill, and everybody has to wait there until somebody goes and finds the price of the item that this person is purchasing. Yes, there are moments in our lives where our patience is tested, even if it's over a little thing that really shouldn't bother us very much. Now, this morning from the Old Testament lesson from Isaiah, we hear about waiting for the Lord. Now, is waiting for the Lord like waiting for a plane, like one of those people in one of those East Coast airports to come up on to be able to see that the plane is no longer canceled but now able to take off? All you can do is just kind of sit there and wait. And in a spiritual sense, as a Christian, kind of think like, well, I'm just going to wait here and let God clean up the mess that I might have gotten myself into. But I don't think that's what waiting actually means. In our text in chapter 40, verse 31, the word hope is used. Now, other translations use the word trust. But in the Hebrew, the best word to be used here for this particular translation is wait. And there are two aspects to waiting that is talked about, I believe, in our text this morning from Isaiah. First, there is the aspect of being patient. Just being patient and knowing that God is there and that God hasn't forgotten you and that God will come to your aid. In our text, the prophet Isaiah, he was speaking prophetically to people who would be in exile in Babylon. And these people at this time were afraid. They were without hope. They thought that God had abandoned them in exile. They even thought that God was weak. And that was the reason their country was overrun and why they were taken in captivity all the way back where Babylon was. They began to think that it was up to them to take care of themselves because God couldn't be counted on. But I will note in a few moments that was the farthest thing, pardon me, from the truth. Don't we think that way sometimes as well as Christian people? And forget that God is able to help us no matter how bad the situation might be. We develop a do-it-yourself Christianity that excludes God from different areas of our lives. We know God is there, but we think that we can take care of the problem, and we really don't want to bother the Lord. Maybe the problem at work that we might be experiencing, a difficulty there, no big deal. That will work itself out. I don't need to pray about it. I don't need to talk to Jesus. I don't need to take it to God. Maybe a problem with a relationship with a particular individual that you might know. And we say to ourselves, well, the other person messed up. They messed up the situation. I'm going to let them fix it. I'm not going to do anything to help. Without even giving much thought, we can exclude God from different areas of our lives. We fix it, we say in our minds. We can fix it. And yes, maybe it works out sometimes. And yes, maybe it works out for a while, but then we begin to feel the weight. Then we begin to feel the pressure of an unresolved problem that won't go away. And what happens? Our blood pressure goes up. We toss and turn, we try to sleep at night, we become depressed, and unfortunately, the joy is taken out of our lives. We slowly realize that this do-it-yourself approach to certain problems, maybe not all of the problems, doesn't really work. And we need to consult God. We need to pray about the situation. We need to get the strength and the wisdom that comes from Him. You see, God's people in exile in Babylon also came to this realization. They came to understand that they were in Babylon not because God had abandoned them and not because God was weak, but they were there because they ignored the warnings of the prophet Isaiah and other contemporary prophets of Isaiah. They had sinned against the Lord by worshiping false gods. They were breaking God's commandments, His many commandments, and in a terrible way. So God's judgment fell upon the people. Isaiah now calls them in exile to repent, with the promise that God will deliver them from exile and allow them to return back to their homeland. And this is where Isaiah comes in with the words of our text this morning. And here he's speaking by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we read these words again. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Now, last Sunday, I mentioned St. Paul, and the words of Paul that I mentioned to you apply to this very situation, because he says something very similar. He writes, "For I can do everything with the help of Christ who gives me the strength that I need." And that strength, you see, is offered to each one of us 24/7. 24/7. He is saying whatever life should throw at him, he knows that he is always in the arms of Christ, who supports him, who loves him, who surrounds him, and will help him, whatever the situation may bring in his own personal life. So Paul is saying here, whether it's good or whether it's bad, he is content because he knows that he is in the loving arms of Christ, his Lord and Savior. And with Christ's power, with Christ's strength, he can endure whatever is given to him. Even if death should come, and Paul was always under the threat of death, Paul was okay with that because he thought that's part of God's will for me, part of God's purpose for me. And in fact, well, he knew that Christ was with him in life and in death. In fact, he'd rather be with Christ, he writes, but he knew that it was important for him to remain so he could do the ministry, spread the gospel, so more people would come to know Jesus Christ, the power of the resurrection, and thus be saved. But Paul was looking forward to heaven, looking forward to seeing Jesus, looking forward to being with all the saints, just as we do. Yes, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. So that's the first aspect of waiting, being patient because God's love will never, ever give up on us. And there is a second aspect to waiting for the Lord. In our text, the word can mean tying all the strands of a cord or rope together, taking those strands and tying together so it's a larger strand, so that it's a rope, something very, very strong. And by doing that, making it stronger and stronger to withstand the weight or stress of anything. And here, we get a sense of the strength that comes from being bound to things. And here, being bound specifically to God, connected to Him. Waiting then becomes a time of being strengthened as we do wait on the Lord. Waiting for the Lord means letting God take hold of us, reshape us, empower us, and to be able to confront whatever we might have to face that lies ahead of us. And the Lord strengthens us through His Word and through His sacraments. And as we wait, we have confidence. As we wait, we have hope. As we wait, we put our trust in God. And that hope and trust and faith is lived out each and every day. We, as Jesus says, let our light shine so that others can see the confidence and hope and trust we have in God. It is seen in our words and in our deeds. We wait on the Lord. God has made us to be in relationship to Him. He wants us to trust in Him, to rely upon Him in all things. We don't have to stand alone against those things that might be adversaries to us, that might rob us of joy and peace. The Lord is there to help us and to strengthen us. And that is the message of Isaiah. The season of Lent is a season that gives testimony to the truth of these things. We need only look to the cross and see just how much God loves each and every one of us. In fact, how much God loves the entire world. There, Jesus, God's only Son, perfect and holy, bled, suffered, and died. Bled, suffered, and died. Unworthy as we are because of our sins and because of our rebellion, there on Calvary's cross, Jesus, God's only begotten Son, won forgiveness for us through his innocent suffering and death. What a blessing that is to us. And because of that, we are no longer enemies of God, but now we are children of God. Now we are friends of God. Because of our faith, our confidence, our hope, our trust in Christ Jesus our Lord, we are God's own beloved children through faith. We are restored from our fallen nature through faith in Christ. Yes, we're sinners and we're saints, but in God's eyes, through faith in Christ, he does not see our sin. By faith in Christ, we receive the blessings of God, forgiveness, life, and the blessing of eternal salvation, the understanding, the hope of heaven. And when the Bible uses the word hope, it's not like I'm hoping something will happen, but the word hope is always a certainty that it will take place. We have a confident hope that it is certain that we will be taken to heaven because of Jesus with him forever. And this is not our doing, as the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For it is by grace you've been saved, through faith. This is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And then he goes on and says, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God created in advance for us to do. Meaning that the Holy Spirit of God, which we receive through the power of the Word, which we receive through our holy baptism, is empowering us, changing us, remolding us to do good works in the name of Jesus. As Paul says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. All of this, you see, comes from God, changing us and remolding us to be his people. He gives us that strength through his Word and the sacraments, to strengthen us for what lies ahead tomorrow and throughout the week and those days yet to come. As we wait for the Lord, God reminds us from his word, through the words of the prophet Isaiah, that God will never abandon us. Isn't it a blessing to be a Christian? To know that our God lays out the cards in front of us as to who he is, what he's done, and what he's continuing to do for us, that we can rely on him, that we know his love, that he's committed to us. And when he makes the promise, as he did through the prophet Isaiah, things happen just as God said they would. We can rely on God's word. He will never abandon us or forsake us. What a blessing it is for us to be Christians. Again, those words from Isaiah. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. May the Lord bless us and strengthen our faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In his most holy name, amen. At this time, we continue our service with our prayers. Would you please rise? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this day with hearts of thanksgiving, giving you thanks for your holy divine word that reveals who you are, what you have done, and what you continue to do in our lives, keeping your promises through the blessings of the prophets and through the apostles, and now even through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Grant your blessings upon this congregation. Strengthen and equip God's people here to carry out the ministry of proclaiming the good news of salvation to all people by grace through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, we pray also for their upcoming event, the Easter egg hunt, that it would be successful and that you would bless many people in the community to attend that special event, to be drawn here by word of mouth through the sign and through other advertisement, gracious Lord, that it would be successful and good weather. Lord, in your mercy. We also pray this day, Lord, for our nation, for our president, and all those who occupy positions of authority over us. Grant them your wisdom, we pray. Lead them to the sacred scriptures, where truly wisdom from on high is given. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, also bless those who serve in the armed forces. Be with them, and especially anyone related to the members within this congregation. Bless them, Lord, strengthen their faith, and enable them to share their faith also with their fellow brothers and sisters in the military. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Father, we also remember this day that we ask, Lord, that you would be with those who are homebound or sick or ill. Grant your blessings upon them, especially those who are ill. Grant strength and healing to them. We pray especially for Pastor Ed that he would be able to return soon. We know that he desires to be here in God's house with all of the people here and carry out his ministry. Lord, in your mercy. And gracious Lord, we also thank you for the rain and snow that you give to the valley and to the mountains, and ask in your mercy you'd continue to bless us with that needed substance as we prepare for the summer months that are often so very, very dry. Amen.